local.
Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. The Sacramento Kings take on the Philadelphia 76ers tonight with no Joel Embiid. And to help us break it all down, we are joined by Michael Caskey-Blomain, writer for ESPN 97.3, who does a lot of 76ers work. Michael, thank you for joining us. Michael, let's start here, and your connection isn't great, but hopefully we can power through. Let's start here. Before we get to the game tonight, I've been hearing, I guess, a lot of things, as everybody is right now, but I guess conflicting stories about the 76ers and their interest in trades going into the trade deadline, as they are very high up in the Eastern Conference, but of course, looking at the Celtics and Bucks. What do you see the Sixers doing at the trade deadline?
Yeah, they're in an interesting position because they've been prioritizing preserving salary cap space for this coming offseason and moving forward in the moves they've been making. So they're in an interesting spot where they're not interested in really bringing back a lot of big money contracts in a potential trade unless it's something that they're really confident that it's a player that they're going to want to keep moving forward for the next several years. I think it's more likely that they'll end up ultimately making some smaller ancillary moves around the edges, maybe adding another backup big man, another ball handler for the second unit. I think that's probably much more likely than, some sort of a blockbuster type move. But in the, the 4 weeks between now and the trade deadline, there's obviously they're going to be associated with a lot of names. I think DeJounte Murray from Atlanta is probably the most likely target that they, if they do a blockbuster type move, that he would be the guy. But otherwise, could potentially end up being a relatively quiet deadline in Philadelphia.
I mean, and when you, like Alan said there, it feels like Philly is kind of looking up right now at definitely at Boston. And I mean, Milwaukee has been up and down this year, but ahead of them in the standings right now. Do you feel like, or how much importance would you say Philly's putting on this season? I mean, there was so much uncertainty going into the year with the James Harden saga. How much pressure are they putting on this season to kind of be a season to win it all?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's important because when you have a guy, the reigning MVP and Joel Embiid, who's still playing at obviously an MVP level like he has been, you want to maximize every potential season that you have. You don't want to waste the season. But Daryl Morey, in the Philadelphia front office has one eye looking on the longer road, and they have a lot of contracts coming off the books this upcoming season. Basically, Joel and Tyrese Maxey, who will be getting an extension in the offseason, will be really the only two players on their books moving forward. And I think that ability to add players in free agency is a priority. So it's kind of like a delicate dance that they're playing between wanting to maintain their ability to add star players around a core of Maxey and Embiid in the future, but also to maximize this season around a guy in Joel Embiid who is still playing at an MVP level, which is why I think they'll certainly entertain a lot of offers. They will definitely put feelers out, talk to a lot of teams about available guys. But ultimately, I think they feel pretty good about where they are in terms of a contender in the East with some, upgrades at the deadline. I think they'd be happy with the team that they have.
Talking to Michael Caskey-Blomain, writer for ESPN 97.3 and the 76ers. Michael, when you're talking about Becky Hammon, who last month found herself in a little bit of trouble because she talked about the undersized point guard or just having an undersized number one, right? Is it any different in Philadelphia where you have Tyrese Maxey as your number two, but a Joel Embiid who I wouldn't say that he is injury riddled, but he is a guy who tends to miss time. How is Tyrese Maxey viewed in terms of a twosome or a duo? Do you think that the 76ers think he can be your straight up number two, or in the future, maybe not this season, in the future, you might need to find one more guy?
Yeah, I think you nailed it. I think, and it's not a referendum on Maxey at all. He's obviously, he's a favorite among the fans of Philadelphia, and he's really, high up in Philadelphia's front office. His development, the player that he's turned into after they drafted him with the 21st pick back in 2020, well outside of the lottery. He's, he's quickly became an untouchable part of the piece of the puzzle in Philly. But I do think that there's the attitude that they probably need one more you know, I hesitate to say superstar level player, but one more all-star level player for, you know, pretty much precisely the reason you said. Obviously, Joel is going to miss some games. We've seen at points this season, Tyrese struggling, understandably so, being the first option for the first time in his career in some of these games when Joel is out and defenses are able to, you know, really focus on him as the primary offensive option. I think we've seen him, you know, go through some growing pains in that regard. And I think, like, moving forward to have a well-balanced roster, I think the Sixers would love to have Joel, you know, as the big man, Tyrese as a point guard, and then maybe a wing, another perimeter player to kind of complement Tyrese that can get his own basket, which is something that they really don't have this season outside of those two guys. They don't really have guys that can really just go and generate their own offense consistently. So I think that will probably be something that they're really going to be looking for, if not in the coming weeks before the trade deadline, then definitely next summer in the offseason.
Interesting. Yeah, Michael, and not to be too redundant or harp on the same thing, but looking at the Sixers' record last year without Joel Embiid, they were 11-5. This year, 2-7 without Joel. Is that pretty much just kind of like what Alan asked? Is that a direct result pretty much of James Harden not being there this year and the pressure or the burden of carrying the team without Joel falling on Maxey's shoulders now?
Absolutely. I think so. I think that was definitely one benefit of James Harden's presence in Philadelphia last year. Obviously, he's the type of guy that has shown that he can carry a team, carry an offense over the course of a game or even over the course of like a regular season. And I think that was the case last year when Joel was out. The offense would obviously shift to a, you know, primary ball handler, James Harden, iso-centric type play. This year, it's a little bit different. Obviously, it's a different coach, different personnel. And like I said, I think there's still growing pains with Tyrese kind of getting used to being the primary focus of a defense. But I do think that their record without Embiid, like you said, 2-7 so far this season, is concerning given the fact that it just seems that he always ends up, you know, missing a couple games come playoff time for one reason or another. He's been, you know, largely healthy, but there always seems to be a game or two that he's not available to play. And in a playoff series, that's all it takes where, you know, you have your best player miss a game or two. It can swing the entire series. And it doesn't seem that the Sixers really have developed any sort of an identity without him on the floor. They struggle to get good looks on offense when he's not out there, and they have virtually no rim protection or paint protection also. So, you know, I think they really do need to figure something out in the short term in terms of another, potentially like another backup big man that they could rely on in case Joel's unavailable.
Talking to Michael Caskey-Blomain of ESPN 97.3. Michael, it's always great to get an outside perspective. You know, we're here in Sacramento, and we talk so much about the Kings and the Beam talk. Out there in Philadelphia, where you're at, and just your view of the NBA landscape, how do you feel about the Kings?
Well, personally, I love watching the Kings, you know, obviously dating back to last year when they really kind of turned it up. I think they're definitely one of the more interesting and exciting teams to watch for sure. And to me, the Western Conference this year is just so interesting that it's wide open. And I think the Kings, you know, I put the Nuggets probably and the Clippers when they're at full health as probably the top two teams in my eyes in the conference. But after that, when you talk about this jumble of teams, the Timberwolves, the Thunder, the Kings, the Pelicans, the Mavs, you know, all those teams are right there. And I think the Kings, the experience that they gained last year, obviously with the success they had in the regular season, probably not going quite as far in the postseason as they would have hoped, but still just getting that experience as a team, you know, all that they went through last year, I think that will really help them moving forward this season. So to me, they're a legitimate threat in the Western Conference. And I think, you know, in the short term tonight, they'll have an excellent chance to take advantage of a Sixers team missing their best player and potentially get a big road win.
Yeah, Michael, something me and Alan have been going back and forth with all year, and especially now that Joel has missed his third straight game, like, does it feel or is there any indications internally that, I don't want to say Joel doesn't care about the awards with the new 65-game limit, but is there maybe less importance to Joel and the Sixers with him, you know, playing 65 games and getting the recognition, and it's really more so about, okay, you've already gotten the MVP. Now it's really focused on can you get the ring? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's not only Joel's view, but I think that's kind of the organizational approach. Had he not won the award last year, you know, maybe things would be a little bit different. You know, coming so close the previous 2 years, being the runner-up, it was clearly something that he wanted to achieve personally, and he did. And I think now that that's kind of checked off his bucket list, And it kind of goes to the general conversation about Embiid and the Sixers at this point. It's a kind of a, you know, talk to me in May, talk to me in June kind of conversation. He's clearly, you know, he's shown that he's an MVP, multiple time scoring leader, you know, probably arguably the best player in the league, top three, if not number one. So, you know, there's really nothing left for him to prove. And I think by slow playing an injury in the regular season, it's all about, you know, trying to keep him healthy for the postseason, which has been the kind of the mandate since he was drafted in 2014, is getting him and the team healthy to the postseason. But, you know, for Joel, there's just so much little left that he has to prove in terms of the regular season. And it's all, you know, on him just getting past the second round at this point, and then obviously hopefully getting on to the finals and the NBA finals. But I do think that, you know, individual accolades and awards like MVP are both kind of taking the backseat to his overall health at this point in his career, for sure.
Michael Caskey-Blomain of ESPN 97.3. Michael, before we get you out of here, I told you I was going to ask, right? And you can even do more. You can even say more than just your favorite cheesesteak spot. I told you I used to be out there. Kyle Draper, who is a host on the station and also does our play-by-play for the Kings, is from Philly. He's out there right now. Now, he likes D'Alessandro's. I like Ish Kabibbles. What is your spot for any Kings fans out there that are taking in the game tonight?
So it's funny. I'm going to go D'Alessandro's.
Okay. The thing is,
well, listen, though, it's funny because a few years ago, that was kind of like an underground answer because it was all like Pat and Geno's. Recently, it's become almost like the popular answer, but I literally live a block away from D'Alessandro's. Like, I'm talking to you right now. Like, I could walk there and be there by the time we hang up this phone call.
Right.
So just the proximity to me. There's also a place right down the street for me called Barry's Cheesesteaks, which is also great. Kind of flies under the radar.
Okay.
But I'm a D'Alessandro's guy, mainly just because I live here. Although the Knicks roast pork at the Reading Terminal Market in Center City would be my recommendation for an outsider. If someone was popping into Philly, I would say bypass the cheesesteak, head to the Reading Terminal Market and get a roast pork sandwich from the Knicks. It is an eating experience.
That is correct. And if I'm not mistaken, I think it was 2010, 2011, it won best sandwich in America.
Sir.
And I have had it. Michael, this was great. Thank you so much. Good luck to the 76ers. Maybe not tonight, but the rest of the season. We will talk to you soon and enjoy your weekend.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike.
All righty. Michael Caskey-Blomain of ESPN 97.3. Great stuff. Got to get to a break. When we get back, we will take over the next set of the Super Wild Card Weekend Picks Sunday and Monday. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Thanks again to Michael Caskey-Blomain of ESPN 97.3. Says D'Alessandro's, if you are going to be eating a cheesesteak tonight, and you might actually run into Kyle Draper if you go. So shout out to Michael. Thank you for that. And hopefully
if you run into Drapes, tell him Alan said hi.
That's right. Please do. All right. Let's get back into the Super Wild Card Weekend.
Here he is.
Sunday. Steelers in the tundra of Buffalo. Watch your tables. They're jumping on them. Steelers at Bills. 10 a.m. 15 degrees. 22 mile per hour winds, CBS and Paramount Plus. Who you got?
I heard it's going to be a little swampy out there, Gus.
It's a swamp, a snowy swamp.
Tundra swamp.
The Bills, favorited by 10 points.
They should be.
Jeez.
They should be.
You know what?
Should I do it?
Should I do it?
Is Gus under the table in there?
Steelers are going to cover.
That's fine.
Bills win.
Steelers are going to climb. They're not going to lose by 10.
They're not going to lose by 10. I got Bills to win, Steelers to cover.
This one feels like it's too obvious, right? Like, this is, again, one of those where if you're in Vegas, everyone and their mom is putting money on the Bills because nobody believes in the Steelers.
That's right.
They probably shouldn't because, if I'm not mistaken, right, T.J. Watt's not going to be playing either, so they're not going to have their best player. Do we know who's going to play quarterback? Is this a Mason Rudolph? Oh, my
But it doesn't matter because they have the same guy three times.
Pretty much. I actually, in a weird way, I do think they ended up with the right one. I feel like Mason is probably the best of the three, whatever that means.
Yeah, what does that mean? That's so tough.
You know, I think I like Buffalo. They have the playoff experience, too. I saw in Week 18, I don't know how long he's been around there, but Leonard Fournette is in the Bills' backfield these days.
I saw that. So who he play for?
Maybe there'll be a resurgence of playoff Lenny. I mean, he hasn't played all season long, so he's got to be fresh. That's a big physical body that, I mean, maybe can take some hits away from Josh Allen.
Can catch.
If you're telling me a snow game, I think I like the Bills in that one. They've played enough bad weather games, too, to where it probably shouldn't affect
they're
Josh
gonna cover?
Allen at this point. I think they're going to win, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're definitely going to win. I don't know nothing about covers.
Can I get the weather one more time? I'm sorry. I was distracted by Gus's golden voice.
Sure. Let me get the weather for you one more time. 15 degrees, 22-mile-per-hour winds.
Hopefully
you don't have a noodle arm.
What?
Only a chance of
snow. Hopefully you don't have a noodle arm.
Like you can't throw?
Yeah. You don't know what a noodle arm is?
Not really. Like you're weak?
Yes.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Josh Allen definitely doesn't have a noodle arm.
Definitely not.
I don't know about Mason Rudolph.
Yeah. I don't know.
Did you want to say something or you just wanted the weather?
No, I wanted the weather for my pick here. But I was just, I'm racking my brain on how this must
Nate,
be.
We got three more games, buddy.
Yeah. Buddy, Chris, come on.
Come on,
dude.
Bud.
Yeah.
Oh. This is the game, if my life depended on it, I'd be picking the Bills, I think. Which is scary because the Bills are so crazy and sporadic sometimes, especially with Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. But I'm just Bills. I'm done. We got three more, bud.
Okay. You got Bills. I already said what I had. Bills to win, Steelers to cover. Let's go to Packers at how about them Cowboys?
Man.
Yeah! Packers at Cowboys.
Good thing this thing is in a dome because I'm looking at just all the weather. Slight chance of freezing rain, which is apparently different than snow.
It's worse.
Thankfully.
That sounds like sharp knives.
No, it is worse.
Sky.
It is. But is freezing rain different than hail?
These are the questions. These are the questions. We've said we want
a meteorologist.
Come on. Where are you at?
There's got to be a KCRA.
Somebody.
Yeah.
Dirk Vadorn.
I'll talk to some people.
Yeah.
Let's get Dirk in here.
All right. I got, and let's see, the line is 7.
Yeah.
Cowboys, obviously.
Even though the Packers are playing their best football right now, and that's ideally what you want to do heading into the playoffs, is play your best football heading into the playoffs, not at the start of the year. Even though it would be hilarious for the Green Bay Packers to march in to Jerry Dome, to Jerry World, and take out Mike McCarthy or Matt, whatever, whichever McCarthy it is.
Who cares?
It's not going to happen. It's just not. I know that Jordan Love's been playing a whole lot better recently. This Cowboy team, I mean, if they lose this game, I mean, McCarthy's gone.
They're
for
done.
Sure, but there's going to be just absolute madness in Dallas. And
they're not going to lose this
game. Good luck.
I think they're going to cover.
I think
classic Dallas is balling out this game and then probably getting, not blown out, but losing next week.
Probably.
I think that's classic Dallas.
To the Eagles, you think?
No, because I think the Eagles would have to play the Niners as long as the Rams.
Depending on the Rams.
Right. Yeah. I think classic Cowboys would be winning this week and losing next week.
Uh-huh.
So I got the Cowboys winning.
All right.
Packers, baby. I saw the line 7.5. It's shrunk to 7 now.
Dude.
I don't know. I think LaFleur's offense can beat Quinn's defense. And then
are you being serious?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm being serious. This is just my opinion. I'm probably wrong. I'm going to take the Packers. I think it's a close game the whole time.
Could be.
I think I'll say it again. I think LaFleur's offense can beat Dan Quinn's defense. Therefore, it'll pretty much come down to like protecting the ball and trying your best to limit that Dallas offense. Like definite bend but don't break mentality. If they get the red zone, gotta keep them to a field goal. Gotta figure out how to do that. Gotta stop the run game. Tony Pollard has slowed down a bit recently. I think they can do it. And I'm just going to say they will do it, but they do it by 3 points.
All right, quickly here to finish it off, you have Rams at Lions. This is the one. This is the one. Lions are favored by 3, and that's actually surprising to me. I'll go first just to keep it rolling. And I've been teasing it this whole week now with everybody hopping onto the Rams bandwagon. I think the Lions are going to feel pretty disrespected. First time having a playoff game in a very long time. There might be some jitters early, and everybody that went Rams is going to be feeling real good about it. But I actually think it's going to be a shootout, and I'm going to take the Lions simply because there is way too many people on the Rams.
I definitely see big shootout potential. I think if any game is going to be the super exciting, it goes down to the final possession. Mm-hmm. This feels like it'll be it. And, I really think that Lions offense is really, really good. It's going to be tough to slow them down. It comes down to me to Jared Goff. If Jared's going to show up, then I think it should be kind of an easy one. It should be. I think it won't be as hard as what people are saying. If you can rattle Jared Goff, which I'm sure Sean McVay has some ideas of what Jared Goff does and doesn't like, then that's how I could see the Rams doing it. But I still think the Lions are the better team.
So somebody asked quickly about Sam Laporta.
I know a little bit about that.
Okay, well, we don't have time, but...
Okay, sorry.
Is he going to play?
Laporta, yeah. I think he's on a snap count.
Okay.
From what I saw this morning.
We also have one more game if we get to real quick. Eagles-Bucks on Monday.
I'm taking the Lions.
Okay, you're taking the Lions. Eagles-Bucks. The Eagles are favored by 3. I think people are really down on the Eagles as long as Jalen Hurts is healthy.
This is also another bad weather game. 66 and rain.
Yeah, it's getting a little closer to disrespectful for me, so I'm actually going to go Eagles.
They're going
to
dominate the trenches, and if it's raining and Baker can't sling it about to his weapons, then I just think that the Philly's going to win in the trenches, and it'll probably be an easy game.
There you go.
Also, the Bucs suck.
Yeah.
I get a little worried if Philly wins, but I think they win. I think if they kind of get back in their groove, they could be dangerous.
Look out.
So.
All right. There you go. Got to get to a break. When we get back, dog segment and prop talk. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. And it is time on a Friday. Want to make your Friday a little bit sweeter? We can do that right now.
Got a little something for you.
Pull up, park, ski. Yep, it's that easy at Sierra at Tahoe. Sacktown Sports has teamed up with Sierra at Tahoe this winter, and all you have to do is hit up the Folsom Lake Honda hotline right now looking for caller number 5, De'Aaron Fox, because he's going to go off tonight. Caller number 5 to win a pair of lift tickets to experience Sierra at Tahoe this winter. Terms and conditions apply. For more information, visit sacktownsports.com. On the Folsom Lake Honda hotline, 916-339-1140. Looking for caller number 5. 916-339-1140. 916-339-1140. Caller number 5 for your pair of lift tickets at Sierra at Tahoe. Nate the Great will take care of you. Bing, bam, boom. As we prepare for our dog segment. But before that, we do have some news, and this news has been confirmed. It's been confirmed. You know, these days, you got to confirm it. This is from Zach Lowe on the exclusive content for ESPN Plus. And here you go, Chris. The Kings have concerns about trading for another massive salary onto their roster, which would limit their flexibility moving forward.
Sure.
And if you move forward from that, this would basically eliminate Sacramento as a potential destination for Pascal Siakam, which we already felt like that, and Zach LaVine. Again, the Kings have concerns about trading for another massive salary onto their roster, which would limit their flexibility moving forward. That is from Zach Lowe of ESPN. You can catch that article on ESPN.com. It is the ESPN Plus article. And the title of the article is Low Clippers are title contenders again. Doncic's improved defense and why the Kings won't trade Murray.
Yeah, I'm looking at the article right now, and there is he does an extensive breakdown of Keegan Murray. I wouldn't really call it a breakdown, but he gives this is a good amount of words on Keegan Murray, so definitely check that out, as the trade piece is really only a small piece of what the actual article is. So go read about Keegan Murray.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. And Nate is handling the phone lines for our winner as we get ready for our dog segment and our dog of the game. Look, man, when it comes to the salaries, when it comes to, you know, bringing on a big salary, I agree, and it also has to be that fit. And you know what? We need to start thinking about the perfect player, because I think the perfect player would have been Pascal Siakam with the three-pointer.
I say Chet Holmgren. I think Chet Holmgren's the perfect player.
You're just creating for the Kings.
Yes, yes. Okay. Next to Sabonis, I think Chet Holmgren's the perfect player.
Okay.
And I really like Evan Mobley, too. Those would be, like, the two guys that if I could – or, like, if we can go in a time machine, like – 4 or 5 years ago, Robert Covington. Those are like my
Who
my
is
three
out
guys.
Tonight, I believe.
I believe so,
he is
yeah.
out tonight,
yeah.
So you won't get to see this.
Hey, now. Pascal Siakam.
Pascal Siakam.
Apple Watch
yes.
is trying to tell us
there
about
you go.
Pascal. We've heard enough about Pascal.
Yeah, Pascal
Apple.
Is
Thank
done.
You.
We know enough
Come on.
About Pascal Siakam. And, okay, we'll do some of the prop talk here
Let's
as well.
Yeah.
And I already went over the 85.5 for Tyreek. And I know you are.
That's a lot of yards.
It's a lot
that
of yards.
Crazy, like with that weather, to think that Tua, who has a history of having some issues getting some zip on the ball, like 85 yards is a lot. Like that's almost you're paying market value, right? Like that's Tyreek in a given game is probably gonna, probably be, if we're talking what his prop would be set at, probably near the 90s. And so to get 85 doesn't really feel like that big of a discount considering. It's probably the worst weather anyone has ever been in. So that just feels a little bit rich for me.
So I'm going to go this guy, and then you'll go with your pick as well. This guy, and it connects into the dog segment as well, actually. Ooh. This guy has not gotten to this number in a while. And honestly, I got to be honest, I'd stay away. De'Aaron Fox, 27.5 points.
Interesting. I mean, you could argue that that's a bit of a discount, though, because, I mean, De'Aaron's probably, I mean, he's averaging near 30. He's typically been at 30 or more. So if you're getting 27, that feels like probably, I mean, if De'Aaron's going to go off, he's probably going to hit 25 to 27, even if it's a light game. I mean, we've seen De'Aaron have bad games, quote unquote, here recently. And even then, he's putting up 24. So if he's having a good game, not even an excellent great game, 27 feels reasonable.
Last five games, and this is because of that 3-point game, he's averaging 17.4 points because of that drop.
Yeah, that three.
But either way, even throughout those five games, he hasn't gotten to 28 points.
Really?
No.
Interesting.
I got one to build on that, De'Aaron Fox.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Throw it out.
So we got a combo here.
Okay.
De'Aaron Fox and Tyrese Maxey.
Okay.
Combining 59.5 points. You taking the over or under?
Ooh.
Me personally, I'm taking the over.
Yeah, I think
59.
So.
So if
Maxey's their only guy,
right. Yeah. But you got to think. But he's going to get clamped. Okay, he's going to get clamped tonight. What if they run the blitz on him? I'm staying away.
Yeah,
staying away.
I would consider staying away because
it does feel too
obvious.
Sorry, if that's not part of the game. I'll go under. I'll go
so
under.
Then Fox, you said 27 for Fox?
27.5.
Yeah, so, and you took the over on that? Sorry,
no,
I was on the phone.
No.
Took the under.
Oh, you
okay,
took
so,
the under on Fox 27.
Yes.
Oh,
I'm
I thought you were
under.
Taking the over
no.
on the Sorry. Fox 27.
No.
Okay,
no.
So I misunderstood
so
that.
So then,
well.
Yeah, you would definitely, by your logic, you're way under on this.
Yes.
The 59.5.
So you think do you think Maxey would do under 27? If you had to,
that's the question. Somebody's got to carry them.
Yeah.
Can Maxey carry them? Look,
yeah.
we've
And looking
seen,
at that Maxey last game, like I said, he took 24 shots.
Right.
He had 36 points.
And if Tobias or somebody heats up and you can't blitz Maxey, I would go over on the combo before I go over on De'Aaron by himself.
Interesting.
Fair. I got two more quick ones for you guys.
I've got one.
Okay, go for it.
Yeah. I've got Domantas Sabonis. I mean, he has been a rebounding machine. He's only had 10 rebounds the last three games. I'm seeing 13 for the number for Sabonis. I'm taking the over. Because really? This is a dude who's had, we're talking about 21 rebound games. We're talking about 17, 19 rebound games. I'm looking at the, as I said, the Sixers 2-7 without Joel Embiid. Yeah. Yep. How about in those games without Joel Embiid, they're averaging 39.4 rebounds per game. You know where that would put them? Dead last in the NBA in rebounding.
Over.
If you were to extend that for the entire season, I'm taking Domas over 13.
That's great insight. Over. Yeah, I'm taking the over too. Chris, you sold me for sure.
Yeah.
Well, then let's stick with Domas altogether. So this is points, rebounds, and assists. Okay. So each one counts for one, right?
Yep.
Right.
One rebound is 1 point. One assist is 1 point. 1 point's 1 point.
That's how it works.
44.5 altogether. You take all three of those big stats. Put them together, you're taking 44.5.
So let's just assume that rebounds and point or rebounds and assists with Domas levels out to somewhere near 20.
Yeah, because what? Kind of more you're thinking like 15 rebounds?
So if you're betting 15 rebounds, I mean, and you're getting anything more than like 6 or 7 assists.
You said 44?
44.5.
There's no way. That's 20 points.
Yep.
20 points, which would be
points.
Good.
Yeah.
And then 15 rebounds. Let's say 20 points, okay. Yeah. 13 rebounds. You're at 33, right? You need 11 assists.
Yeah.
You just need a monster.
More points.
You need a monster Domas. You can get more. You can get a 28
right,
easy.
That's the thing. That's not a normal game. It's a big, it's a good game.
That's a
it's
really,
a really
like,
good
yeah,
game.
You're baking
I think
in a really
that's the question.
Good game.
Yeah. It's not a matter of, hey, he just did his thing. That's a good game.
I'm sure like all of the Vegas Sharks would probably tell you not to do it because you are betting on him playing extraordinary instead of him
one thing's
playing
off,
average.
You're cooked.
Exactly. One thing's off, you're cooked, whether it's rebounds or assists or even points. I mean, he could have 12 points, 15 assists, and 15 rebounds, and you're still short.
All right. Before we get to a break here.
Let's do some dogs.
Let's do some dogs. Let's get it going. All right. Gotta go quick here. Dog of the game, or we could technically do two
let's
quickly.
Just bang out two.
Here you go from the 916. The dog with three W's and three A's of the game tonight. Tyrese Maxey. If Philadelphia is victorious.
I guess we got to open it up. You know?
And De'Aaron Fox if the Sacramento Kings are victorious. Thank you to the 916 to get started with our dog segment sponsored by Could Be You. Give us a call, 916-339-1140. I'll go quick on both. I'm going to say, I'm going to go De'Aaron Fox again. I think he's going to start cooking tonight. Nationally televised game, him, cool. Kentucky versus Kentucky.
Yeah.
You got Tyrese Maxey. And then against the Bucks, for the Bucks, I am going to do... I'm going to actually do Trey Lyles because I think he's going to have to hit a lot of threes to hang around.
Nice.
Trey got in a fight with the Bucks last time they played.
That's right.
So
you think Kevin's back by then? Not that you would take it. You're not allowed to take it. That's the rule.
Probably not, I guess. Okay. I mean, I don't know. We really don't have any clarity on how bad that ankle is, so I just kind of don't know. I'm going to take... you know what? I'll take Domas tonight for the reasons I just kind of listed. I think he's going to be just a monster destroying Paul Reed all day. And then on Sunday, I'll take De'Aaron Fox. I'm going to – maybe this is a bit of a cop-out. I'm going to take the Kings' two best players this weekend. But De'Aaron going against Dame, that's lining up for that to be a great battle. And as we said, Dame don't play any defense. So some tells me De'Aaron's going to be able to kind of have his way with Dame. And, you know, it'd be nice to have him have a really big game against a really big opponent. So I'm gonna pick De'Aaron.
Sabonis, Keegan. Sabonis tonight for those reasons we listed earlier, rebounds.
Keegan.
And then Keegan, I think, will be left alone. Not for the most part, but I think he'll have enough time, you know, not being guarded by an insane defensive player, whoever that is.
I really hope Keegan does not have to guard Giannis.
Yeah, and it's funny. His comparison is Middleton.
Yeah.
So it'll be fun to
that's
see
right.
those two.
Healthy Middleton.
Those two kind of go at it. Not that we haven't seen it before, but those are my two.
There you go. Got to get to a break when we get back. Crosstalk with the Drive Guys. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Whitey joins us.
Hey, what's up?
And Whitey, how you doing on this Friday?
I'm good. You know that you can feel that storm coming, though, can't you? You kind of feel the energy because tomorrow's supposed to be.
So it's supposed to be a storm or it's just raining?
I don't know. On Channel 3, the weather, they had a big exclamation mark, so I'm assuming that's not good.
You know me, you know how weather is.
I don't know.
Seeing rain all day tomorrow. That means I will be staying indoors.
Watching football.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would you guys rather
watch? Trying to figure out how to get Peacock.
Would you come on over? Would you rather watch a football game that's played perfect conditions, sun, or maybe in a dome, or would you rather watch a game in the like blizzard or the snow or the mud?
I mean, maybe if the teams fit it a bit more. I hear what you're saying, but
no, like, I'm just asking. Wit, you know, which I'm. Kind of a throw. I like the muddy games. Like your
See,
team
we knew there'd be one.
I'm a dome.
There's more than one. I'm sure there are a lot of people like.
Yeah, and it may be older people.
Mm-hmm.
But your team, I mean, for in the old days, yeah. Your team, man.
Well, that was the advantage,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they played on, you know, the frozen tundra and all that.
Yeah.
But here's my question. Is that supposed to make you feel like, hey, that's the better team because they won despite the situation? Or do you want to see good conditions, and then that can be, I just want to see the two best teams at their best, right? That's really the question.
That's mm-hmm. where I'm coming from, especially with this matchup. It's like, this is such a good matchup. I just want to see actually what it looks like if these two teams are able to be at what they would consider full power. I would like to see what happens when these two forces go together because, I mean, inevitably, whichever team loses, they're going to have the excuse of, oh, well, the weather was bad. You guess what would have happened if the weather was good, especially if from the Dolphins side. I mean, if I were the Dolphins, this is, I mean, in a weird way, it's good because you have a natural cop-out, but I want to let this thing fly, especially against the Chiefs. Like, yeah. You can make a real statement.
Yeah, a bunch of them say they're going to go sleeveless. I almost said shirtless. They're not going to go shirtless.
Oh, I'm sure someone will.
Oh, they will. That's someone what we talked pre-game. About actually in the crosstalk this morning, who will be the player or players we don't care, and they show up with no shirt on because there's always
Colin
one.
Kaepernick in Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Although it wasn't 9 below or whatever, but it was cold.
Yeah, but you know, once you get to a certain level, cold, you know.
Like, no, but then it's that's like, not right. Cold. That's not true.
Nate mentioned the ball being stiff too in the cold. I didn't even think about like. The body contact of like you're freezing and then you got a pad just coming into your arm and it's
I mean, if you start getting frostbite, you can't will that away.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Well, speaking of Kadarius, he needs a lot. He needs even in good conditions.
He's got a good excuse already.
Just real quick, I understand you guys are probably right. And bad weather is kind of an equalizer, mm-hmm. which gives a lesser team more of a chance in some ways. But I just like watching it. You're right though. I mean, if you want to see the teams play their best football. The better the weather, the better the conditions, the more likely that is. I get that.
Adam Peters, head of football operations now for the Commanders. Does Bob Myers just have the most power out of any man? I mean, why do we
period.
He now is crossed over to the NFL. And, you know, Whitey, I was in the, you know, coming from the Bay, I was in the camp of, are we sure Bob Myers his impact is not just a little bit overrated. I mean, just a little, just maybe a tiny bit.
He was a great GM. He's really smart getting out of the Bay Area when he did.
That's true.
Like sure my man Alan Stiles right here.
Yeah,
very
that's
smart.
Right
in time, man.
That's
right.
Yeah. Well played.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw. I saw it going down.
Yeah. And I'm sure he was just kind of a facilitator on that. So, you know, smart people end up in the right place at the right time. And then it looks like, man, that guy, he's all the power in the world. Everything he touches turned to gold. And some of it's just... No, it's just making sure he's in the right situation at the right time.
Yeah, going to the
Guy, though. You've talked to him.
Great guy. But it's just everything just falls into play, and now all of a sudden, hey, come on over. You're just keeping the connection going. I know he's had multiple conversations with John Lynch, which we've seen as well. But going back to the Niners, and you look at, okay, Mike McDaniels, he's gone. D'Amico Ryans, he's gone. Rapasala, he's gone. Adam Peters, he's gone. Rand Carthen, he's gone. And you have... we call it the cooks that are on the field making the meal. And now you're getting rid of those that were buying the produce and buying what was to be used to make the meals. And the question is, just long story short, Kevin, Michael, Whitey, Gleason, the Niners got to get it done this season. How long can you survive just getting plucked every single season of really high caliber people?
I thought we were talking about groceries there. We are. I don't have my Save Mart ad with me.
Shout out Save Mart.
Yeah, well, I think that's been the backdrop of this whole season, going back even to camp. I know Emil, everybody was talking about it. You know, every other question, even before they started the exhibition games, was, you guys feel like this has got to be the year, you know? So
yeah, I remember Trent Williams saying something about, why does everyone keep asking us about our window? Yeah. I'm tired of talking about windows.
Right.
Well, I don't know. I'm kind of on the media. I'm not on Trent Williams' side there. I'm like, you know, there is, to me, again, like Alan just said up there, there's a clear and obvious window here where they have to capitalize, or else it's just, I mean, because how many more times, I mean, if the Niners run into the wall again this year, how many times can you keep convincing yourself to run into that wall and it's going to be different? I mean, especially when, you've got the shuffling of OCs, DCs, you got the assistant GMs out the door. At some point, I mean, I don't know if it's luck, I don't know if it's skill of being able to replace these guys, but at some point, you're going to make a misstep.
Yeah, and when
it's football,
go ahead,
too,
Mark.
You know?
It's random.
Like a guy like, I hate to say it, but like Kittle, great player, but you know, every year you can see he's slowed up a little more, a little more, and it just catches up to you, especially the way, you know, they emphasize Yak, and those guys take a beating.
They really do.
A beating, too, but they take one.
And it's been years of this, and you know, they went through the Jimmy Garoppolo era, and now they're here with Brock Purdy, and that's really it. It's not even as much of, it's just as much the Niners as it is, and I'm going to say this, and I don't mean it to take anything away from the Niners, it is a softer season, right? There's been quarterbacks that have went down. The Chiefs, they decided to take a chance and not really have a number one receiver. It caught up to them. You just got to take care. You are by far, the Eagles crumbled in part to you. And by the way, look at the Eagles. I know they're not set up the same way as the Niners, but you went to the Super Bowl last season and it doesn't look like it's happening this season. Same thing happened to, you know, the Bengals. That team that goes and doesn't win, a lot of times it's hard for them to get back. Mm-hmm. So it's just as much about the Niners as it is about the field when we're looking around. But the thing is, that's the NFC. You could say the same exact thing about Lamar. You could say Lamar, Josh Allen is up and down. You know, you have Mahomes with no weapons. If you don't do it this year, buddy, and especially the way you play. So one of those teams has to get it done this season.
Yeah, Lamar, watch out next week for the Browns, huh?
Yeah. I know. I would be worried about it. I would definitely be worried about it. So, all right, got to get out of here. Thanks for listening all week to Sals and Watkins.
You're welcome.
Thank you to Nate. You have the Drive Guys up next with Whitey Gleason and Kyle Draper. Enjoy your weekend. Hopefully we get a Philly cheesesteak beam and also a beam in Milwaukee. Until next week, until Monday, secure the bag, light the beam.